The Wisconsin Supreme Court's 4-3 decision today says most absentee ballot drop boxes are not allowed in Wisconsin and that only the voter can return their ballot in person. The ruling comes before next month's primary and the fall election, where the races, especially for governor and U.S. Senate, are being watched nationally. Drop boxes had been used for some years across Wisconsin. Election clerks expanded their use for the 2020 election in response to the pandemic. Voting rights advocates say the court's decision will make it harder for people to vote, especially those with disabilities. The plaintiffs in the case say the ruling will improve voters' confidence in the election process. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this ruling? How will it affect you, if at all? Have you used a ballot drop box in past elections? Do you support or oppose them being allowed in elections? Do you want state lawmakers to come up with guidelines on how and when to use election drop boxes? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. David Cannon is a professor of political science at UW-Madison and currently editor of the Election Law Journal and affiliated with the Elections Research Center at UW-Madison. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
So what, in effect, does this mean for elections for the rest of this year?
Well, it means that it will be somewhat harder to vote for people that have gotten used to the convenience of being able to take their ballot to the drop box and put it in Dropbox. And there were 570 drop boxes used in 66 of the 72 counties around Wisconsin in our last election, the spring election, this last year. And then in 2020, we had, again, about 528 drop boxes in over 400 communities around the state. So this is a convenience people have gotten used to, and it was something that people saw as actually more secure than dropping your ballot into the mailbox, which is why people wanted to do it. Because you remember back, especially to the 2020 election, there was a lot of concern about delayed mail because of the COVID pandemic and mail getting lost and having your ballot not arrive in time to be counted. So the drop box gave you a secure way to put your ballot in the box and know that it would get to the clerk on time, because only the clerk was dealing with picking up the ballots. It didn't go into the mail stream that, again, was often delayed.
That's the Dropbox part of this ruling. Another part of it says to deliver a ballot in person, you got to bring your own ballot. You can't give it to your spouse to deliver. You can't be, a neighborhood organizer or something like that. Can you talk about that particular part of the decision?
Right. Yeah. So there actually were two parts there. One had to do with mailboxes and one with drop boxes. So only for the drop box part of it did they say that you have to do this in person now. You can't have a relative, can't be anybody else. It has to be the voter to put that into the drop box. But for mailboxes, they postponed that decision because they only had three votes to say that even for mailing your absentee ballot to a mailbox, that too would have, by three of the justices wanted to also say that had to be done by the voter. But Justice Hagedorn did not sign on to that part, and so they didn't have the majority of four they needed. And so that you still can have someone else take your mailed ballot to be put in a mailbox, but you can't have someone else take it and put it in a drop box, which is kind of confusing, but that's what the decision says.
That could change. Do you expect to see more legal challenges on that particular issue?
Yeah, there might be. But again, Hagedorn seems like he's not going to sign off on that, partly because of what you referred to in the lead into the story, which is that disability advocates are really worried about what could happen if, even for a mail ballot, you can't have someone deliver it for you to a mailbox, because there are many people in the state who, especially people who are institutionalized, wheelchair bound, bedridden, they can't get up to go put their ballot into a mailbox. And so if you would make that a requirement to vote, to say you have to personally stick it in the mailbox yourself, that could really disenfranchise thousands and thousands of voters across the state. And so I think that's why Hagedorn, wouldn't sign off on that. And it's possible we'll get more litigation on that, but that's where things stand as of today.
And that seems like it'd be tough to enforce, too. If somebody says, honey,
sure,
can you bring the ballots over to the mailbox? How would you enforce something like that?
Well, right, exactly. And which actually raises another question about the whole premise to this ruling, which is the idea that somehow the drop boxes were less secure than mailing a ballot, because this idea that drop boxes are more prone to fraud was kind of the underlying assumption of the lawsuit. And there was no evidence presented to that effect. And if anything, I think there's stronger evidence to say that drop boxes are more secure than mailboxes. In part, as you just pointed out, you don't have like video surveillance of mailboxes. They're often just, on street corners, and you just go put whatever you want in a mailbox. Whereas the drop boxes typically were in more public places, like in front of a government building, in front of a post office or a library. And often there was video surveillance of those drop boxes. And so there you actually could monitor, to see, what was happening at the drop boxes. And so if anything, if you're worried about election fraud, you should be encouraging more drop boxes, not taking them away.
Talking to David Cannon, political science professor at UW-Madison, looking at today's state Supreme Court decision on ballot drop boxes in Wisconsin, saying mostly we can't use them. The unattended ones that might have been in front of, say, your local library, that is out now. Also, hand delivering a ballot to a clerk's office, you have to bring your own ballot. You can't bring anybody else's. Mail, still, I guess you can still bring your spouse's to the mailbox, it sounds like, for now. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions, your reactions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you think of today's decision? Big deal? Small deal? Does it affect the way you might vote in the future? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. David, one of the parts of this challenge, and the majority, I think, went along with this, was the idea that if we go by the letter of the law, these drop boxes aren't legit. It says to the clerk, which I guess you could interpret that as you have to hand it to the person who is the clerk, but I think that's interpreted more broadly to their office, to their appointed deputies. Clerks had said, you can deliver them to me via these drop boxes, and the court says, no, that steps beyond Wisconsin law. What do you make of that part of the argument?
Yeah, no, I think that having this as a sort of narrow textualist kind of interpretation of the law, that is a fairly reasonable interpretation. And Hagedorn's take on this rather than the other three. I think he's the one that sort of lays out a really sort of careful legal analysis of all of the related questions. And he also deviates from the other three more conservative justices on the question of standing and whether or not there had been all the other administrative remedies had been pursued before taking it to the Supreme Court. And he disagreed with the three conservatives on both of those questions as well. And so for Hagedorn, it's a simple question that, like, the law doesn't say anything about drop boxes. It's true that the law does not prohibit drop boxes, but by interpreting the law to say that the ballots have to be returned to the municipal clerk, it can definitely be read to say that drop boxes are a convenience that could be seen as not being allowed by the law. Now, with the dissent, they actually hone in on this question of the wording of a municipal clerk versus the office of a municipal clerk. And in the statute, there are several places where the statute does refer to the office of the municipal clerk. But when it's talking about returning your ballot, it says returning the ballot to the municipal clerk, not to the office of. And so for the dissenters, they argue that this means that this should be thought of then as a municipal clerk, more broadly, and including then drop boxes. And so they actually have a part in the dissent where they say, the municipal clerk set up the drop box. They're the ones that will be cleaning out the drop box. So that actually is returning your ballot to the municipal clerk. Now, whereas the law has said office of the municipal clerk, which it does say in several other places, then that clearly would not allow the drop boxes, because then you actually do have to take it back to the office. But the law doesn't say that. So even on narrowly interpreting the law, there are differences of opinion about what those specific words mean.
We're on a caller at 800-642-1234. David is with us in Mount Horeb. David, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that today's ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court lays bare to any honest observer that they are nothing more than politicians in robes. They're fulfilling Paul Ryrick's vision of reducing the electorate so that the the politicians can choose their voters rather than voters choose their politicians.
David, thanks for the call. David Cannon, what do you think?
Well, I think I would agree with David on the part of the opinion that really is kind of over the top and making unsubstantiated claims about linking drop boxes to fraud and, you know, where, again, there's no evidence for that at all, and distinguish that part of the majority opinion from, again, Hagedorn's concurring opinion. And Hagedorn was the decisive fourth vote here. And Hagedorn really sounds a lot more like the John Roberts in his hearing when he was confirmed. Remember, he says, you know, the court is about calling the balls and strikes. We don't make the law. And that's what Hagedorn is saying in his concurrence, is that, you know, we just have to interpret the law says. To me, it seems like the law says that drop boxes are not allowed and we're not making policy. And Hagedorn says flat out, this is not about fraud. This is not about any of these bigger policy questions. That's up to the state legislature. What we have to decide as a court is what the law says. And to me, the law says that drop boxes aren't allowed. So I think that you can see the political part and what David mentioned coming through in Rebecca Bradley's decision, and especially in Rogensack's concurrence, but in Hagedorn's concurrence, where, again, that's kind of that fourth vote, really is a much more restrained kind of take on this, not the over-the-top partisanship we see in the other parts of the opinion.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to David Cannon, political science professor at UW-Madison, looking at today's Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling that bars the use of most absentee ballot drop boxes in elections here in the state. You can join in with your thoughts, your reactions, your questions at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation here for some more of you coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with David Cannon, political science professor at UW-Madison, looking at the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling today, placing restrictions on absentee voting and ballot drop boxes. You can join in with your thoughts and reactions at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls. Cheryl Ann is with us in Delavan. Cheryl Ann, hi.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
Well, for the first time in like 40 years, I didn't get to vote in April because I was temporarily disabled from a broken hip. I didn't get to request a ballot ahead of time, blah, blah, blah. And I couldn't get to the voting station in my wheelchair to vote. And all of these barriers that they're putting up to voting is just killing our democracy. It is total anti-democracy. This fear of somebody cheating on their vote is ridiculous. It's been proven over and over again that not that many votes are invalid. And the more barriers they keep putting up is just keeping all of us from voting.
Cheryl Ann, thanks for the call. Best on your recovery from that broken hip. David, disability, temporary or permanent, a concern in this decision?
Absolutely. Especially, again, if they would extend this to not being able to have someone else drop off your ballot in a mailbox. And that would truly be a devastating impact on people who have disabilities and can't, you know, have mobility issues and can't get out themselves. I mean, how are they supposed to vote? Like, they really would not be able to vote. And so it's good that, again, Hagedorn, you know, voted against that. But you had three of the justices who were willing to take that step even. And so that's something that, you know, could be at stake in the future.
Sure, Land. Thanks for the call. Landon joins us next in Madison. Landon, hello.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering, dig into some of the deeper means of the definitions in this decision, specifically returning a ballot to the clerk or the office of the municipal clerk or defining a drop box. During the pandemic in 2020, I went through two different elections in Wisconsin, and every time I returned my ballots via like a slot in the door or the office of my municipal clerk, during the off hours. So, you know, there's a couple of things going on there. I wonder what this means specifically for an instance such as that, and really how far could this really go if an absentee voter isn't allowed to, like, return a ballot after, you know, 5 p.m. to the office of the clerk right down the street from there.
Landon, thanks for the call. David, as I understand it, a drop box would have to be attended, so a slot in the clerk's office with nobody in the clerk's office wouldn't be kosher under this ruling?
I think you're exactly right. And it again, there are some ambiguities still, even after this decision. Some of those gray areas, I think, are not well-defined. But it does seem pretty clear that, I think, by just a common sense reading of the decision would say that an unstaffed slot in a door, so after hours, would not be permissible. Now, it's not exactly a drop box, but it is unstaffed. On the other hand, if it's literally the clerk's office, maybe that would be okay. And so that's a gray area, and Landon raises a really good question. And actually, it brings up another point we haven't talked about yet. It is another part of the state that could be affected a lot by this are the rural areas, where usually the clerks are only working, you know, a limited number of hours every week. And so the drop boxes were especially convenient for them, because often the clerk's office would only be open for, say, 4 or 6 hours a week. And so you had the drop box, you know, at the clerk's office, and often, and sometimes that's even the clerk's home, is like what they would actually use. And so now that drop boxes aren't allowed, unmanned drop boxes, you know, that's not going to be an option in these rural areas. And so this could have, you know, broader effects on voting than we're even realizing on first glance.
Thanks for that call, Landon. Frank joins us next in Madison. Frank, hi.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. By the way, I was a political science major at Vassar College, but I was a town clerk for 2 years, and it seems like there's a mass hysteria about the ballot boxes, as if someone could come with 100 fake ballots and stuff in there and the clerk would come.
Frank is...
The ballot is vetted. Go ahead.
You're breaking up there, Frank. You were saying if somebody tried to stuff the ballot box with fake ballots, what would happen as a town clerk?
Yeah, because every ballot is vetted in advance with a, you know, driver's license online, the individual name, it's signed, their name's on it. Every ballot is reviewed when it's received. There's only one vote per person. So the only possible fraud would be if someone could get a legitimate ballot, like open it and then change the vote on it, then reseal it and put it back in the ballot box. So it's like hysteria over, I think, something that can't happen. We don't have anonymous large amounts of ballots. You know,
gotcha.
One vote per person.
Frank, thanks for the call. David, Frank saying, yeah, you couldn't really stuff these ballot boxes.
Well, right. No, it's exactly right. And in fact, I combed through the 141 pages of the decisions today to try to find any specific claim made about fraud by the plaintiffs in the case and in the majority opinion. And the only thing they mentioned at all was that a drop box would be more of a target for someone who's trying to steal ballots, because they knew that there would be ballots in the drop box, whereas in a average mailbox, you don't know if there will be a ballot in there. It'll just be a bunch of other, you know, mail in there. But this, okay, so that's true as a point of logic. That's absolutely true. But as Frank points out, like, you can't do anything. Like, first of all, the ballots those drop boxes are secure. You can't, like, just break into them, at least not very easily. And even if you did, then what are you going to do? Like, how you wouldn't be able to to alter those ballots in a way that wouldn't be detected. And so even that is not a legitimate claim for why these drop boxes are more likely to lead to fraud.
Thanks for the call, Frank. Tom is with us in Cable. Tom, hi.
Hi. Say, I think it's pretty clear that, anybody that's got any, even a minimal amount of critical thinking skills can see, what's behind all of this. I think we beat that horse to death. But what I want to wonder if the professor could comment on is, this whole thing seems to me like, I can't believe it's legal, period. Because if you're trying to, it's clear you're trying to put barriers in front of people to, everybody has a right to vote. So if you're putting barriers out there for people to vote, that does not seem legal to me at all. And I'm just wondering if there's just a broader legal question that could be discussed about that. I mean, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, all that sort of stuff.
Tom,
I mean, how does that figure into this?
Thanks for the call. David, could this be considered disenfranchising people? I'm guessing it'd be a tough case to make in a court saying, hey, everybody still has the access to the mail and in-person voting. Possibly, though, with voters with disabilities, if they lost that ability for that ballot handoff, if they couldn't physically deliver it.
Right. There, I think that you'd have to have that additional step taken, you know, to actually make it almost impossible for someone with a disability to vote. Then I think Tom's point is right on. That absolutely would be disenfranchisement for sure. But when you're just talking about absentee voting generally, then the guiding statute is what's in question, and we have these different opinions then about exactly whether or not that statute does permit drop boxes or not, and the majority said today that it does not. And so that is a much narrower question having to do with statutory interpretation of that specific law rather than a broader question about the right to vote. But I agree with you, Rob, entirely that broader question would be put on the table if they did actually take away the right of someone else to put a disabled person's ballot into a mailbox.
Thanks for that call. And David, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Well, it's good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
That's David Cannon, professor of political science at UW-Madison, currently editor of the Election Law Journal, affiliated with the Elections Research Center at UW-Madison. David joined us today to cover today's state Supreme Court ruling disallowing most absentee ballot drop boxes.